The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Stick to Your New Year's Resolution Day, Tony. What was your New Year's resolution?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. More hats. More hats.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who sent you that? I'm sure some haberdashery sent you that.
Dave Sims has sent me some hats, speaking of haberdashers.
But Sims I bought has this a hat. Million hats.
One in Washington,
I never
D.C.
get one.
Yeah.
You know?
No, Sims has his own hat company. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Big Ben says the Steelers don't have a chance. John Lester calls it a career, and the Grizzlies believe they're one of the best teams in the NBA. But we begin today with the firing of Joe Judge by the New York Football Giants. That in itself is not worth talking about. Judge is the third straight Giants coach to last 2 years or less. But there are now seven teams without a head coach, or in the case of Las Vegas, with an interim coach. In alphabetical order, they are Chicago, Denver, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, Miami, Minnesota, and New York. Wilbon, which of the seven openings is the most attractive?
Well, Tony, seeing how the Miami Dolphins rallied around their fired coach after being 1-7 to win 8 out of 9 games and look like a real professional football outfit, I mean, I would say Miami. I mean, the players apparently have some resolve, and I'm sure there's some shoring up of the roster that needs to be done. I mean, they're not a serious championship contender yet in Miami, but the way they played the last half plus of the season, I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins. And you know what, Tony? One of the reasons why I was so angry about the Bears coaching situation, and I wanted the GM fired probably as well, and that happened, is that there are some players, you know, Roquan Smith comes to mind, David Montgomery, in Chicago in Bears uniforms, they can play,
yeah.
All right? So the Bears have some players, particularly at the skill positions, Mooney, the sophomore, second-year receiver who's terrific. They don't have a line for the eighth straight year, which is why I wanted the GM gone. But I'm going to say Miami and my Bears stick out as teams where you could go in there if you're a new coach and say, okay, the cupboard's not empty. Let's try to get something done here.
I'm going to start with what I think is the worst job, and that's the New York Giants. They hire coaches, they fire coaches, they never get any better. Since Tom Coughlin left, they've been awful. In the last 5 years, let me get the number, 22-59. And the only thing that saves them in New York is that the Jets are even worse than the Giants. I'm going to leave Chicago to you. That's your account. There are two teams here where I don't trust the owners. I don't trust the owner of Jacksonville to know anything at the moment about the NFL, and it will not surprise me if Trevor Lawrence at some point soon says, get me out of here. I don't trust the owner in Miami after what happened with Brian Flores, but as you say, Miami has talent. I'm not sure that Tua is a great quarterback, but they've had winning seasons 2 years in a row. I like Denver, but they don't have a quarterback in a division where everybody has a quarterback.
No quarterback.
Since Peyton Manning, five guys in 5 years have thrown the most passes, so there's no stability there. So this brings me to the two teams that I think are good, and I'll rank them in order. Minnesota, for me, is one, because Minnesota's ownership gives you a pretty long leash. I mean, they gave Mike Zimmer a long time in Minnesota.
They did.
They got Thielen, they got Jefferson, they got Dalvin Cook, and they got Cousins. And then I think Vegas is a pretty good team. But in Vegas's case, they were all in with John Gruden. Because that was a 10-year deal. When that stopped, I don't know what it means for the next guy. And by the way, if Bisaccia beats Cincinnati, I think they have to extend him.
Yes, I think they have to extend him. That's why I don't even think the Raiders,
say Minnesota,
Tony, is being in that group.
I would go Minnesota 1, Miami 2, Raiders 3.
Okay. And look. None of these teams are great. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be firing their coach. The closest that comes to it is Miami, and we're still trying to figure out what the hell happened there.
Yeah.
Let's move to baseball, where John Lester has retired after 16 seasons. Lester won 110 games for the Red Sox, 77 for the Cubbies, and 200 overall, an even 200, against just 117 losses. But He was even better in the postseason, making the playoffs 9 times, had an ERA of 2.51, and he won 3 World Series rings, including the big one, in my opinion, with my Cubbies. Tone, did John Lester have a Hall of Fame career?
I don't know. I think it's close. The Hall of Fame monitor that tries to be objective in this has him at a 98 when you need 100 and compares him most closely to Dwight Gooden, who is not in the Hall of Fame. Let me go over Lester's thing for a second because I took some notes. Here's the case I will make for him. He's got a really good winning percentage. You know, he's got all these postseason numbers that are good. Most of all, what I think he's got, Mike, is he's got mythology. Because for 100 years, there was no World Series for the Cubs. For almost 90 years, there was no World Series win for the Red Sox. And he won 3 with both teams. And I think that goes a long way. As you mentioned, he has a 2.51 ERA in the postseason. In the World Series alone, it's better, Mike. In the World Series, he's 4-1 with a 1.77 ERA. But if it was just about the postseason, I think Curt Schilling would be in. So I think it's going to be close, Mike. He never won a Cy Young. I think he was very good. I don't know that he was great, and I think some voters may hold the fried chicken and the beer in the Boston clubhouse against him. I think that's possible.
I don't give a damn what happened with fried chicken and beer. And I really don't care anymore about what, you know, no, but I've been a voter in 2 sports, okay? And I'm sick of the numbers. I'm sick of the criteria that 2 new generations of people use that don't have a damn thing to do with anything that matters. You said it already. It doesn't go a long way, his mythology. It goes all the way. All the way.
Yeah.
A team hadn't won in 108 years. He wins. He's the guy. He's 19-5 on that staff. Shut up. That's it. Drop the mic. Any further discussion of John Lester? I told this to Uber producer Matt Kelleher this morning. We start talking about this. Kelleher, of course, from New England. So he's already felt the John Lester mythology. And I, being from Chicago, I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. This is a no-brainer.
Well, not everybody
I don't
is
care about
sit
the
down.
Monitor.
Right. Not everybody's going to sit down like you and demand to put the guy in because they won in their city, because he only won in 2 cities. I think what's going to help him is he's a lefty.
How many people win in every city? Who else wins in every city? Nobody.
I think what's going to help him is he's a lefty. I think what's going to help him is he ate up a lot of innings. He was always willing to pitch. I think what's going to help him is that his teammates loved him. And I have a wonderful little statistic here that I want you to hear, Mike, because I like statistics even if you don't. He's one of 9 modern left-handers with 200 wins, a winning percentage of 600, and career ERA under 4. Of the other 8, 6 are already in the Hall of Fame, and one of them is CC Sabathia, who is awaiting the Hall of Fame. So I think that sides with you. That sides with you. Let's
move quickly. Hold on, real quickly.
Yeah.
I get all that. He won with the Cubs. Are people stupid?
That's the Red Sox.
And in the Red Sox, he didn't win in 04. He didn't win in 04, but he won in 07.
He was a solid starter.
What?
Yeah, too.
Seriously?
The Memphis Grizzlies beat the Golden State Warriors last night for their 10th straight win. Memphis is now tied with Utah for 3rd place in the Western Conference. Their best player, Ja Morant, said, and I quote, "We're one of the best teams in the league," unquote. Wilbon, you always talk about how Morant should get more attention. The floor is yours.
Get more attention? He's one of the 3 best players in the league right now. Right now. Right now, he's starting on the Western Conference All-Star team. He's got my vote. It's Steph Curry and it's him. And you know what I think of Booker and CP3. All right? You know how great I think those guys. They got to the finals. John Morant.
And you think of Lillard, too.
Yeah. But I know, but Lillard's not having that kind of year, you know, as he normally has, Tone. But John Morant, people aren't watching yet. I get it. They don't know him. They don't know Desmond Bane. They don't know Clark. They don't know these guys. They should know Jaren Jackson a little bit, but they probably don't. Tony, Memphis is going to rock somebody out of the playoffs that probably has a much bigger reputation. Memphis can get to 3rd. I'm not even going to put it out of reach to get to 2nd. I'm not. I think that Phoenix and Golden State are the 2 best teams in the league. But Ja Morant, Tony, he's wondrous. He's got an IQ that matches his athleticism. He is a star now, and he's only going to become greater.
Thank you for mentioning Golden State and Phoenix, because in the 10-game winning streak, Memphis has beaten both of them, beaten the Nets and beaten the Lakers twice. They are 20-4 in their last 24 games. That's awfully good. And they have more wins, 19, against teams at 500 and better than any team in the league. They're four clear of the next team. I don't know much about the city of Memphis except the Rendezvous has the best ribs that I've ever eaten in my life. That's pretty much what I know. And I don't know who owns the team, and I don't know who coaches the team, but I can read a box score, and I can read the standings. And they look awfully good at the moment, and they are, for me this year, what Phoenix was last year. Phoenix got Chris Paul and went from okay to really good. Ja Morant, in his third year, has the ball in his hand all the time like Chris Paul. Mike, when a guy's got the ball in his hand all the time, he can transform a team by himself.
Yes.
Big men
yes.
can't do that. Big man can't do that.
Transformative, Tone. So. That's the word. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Smallest city in the league. Did you know that? Smallest market in the league.
Smaller than Memphis. New Orleans after Katrina? That surprises me, but okay.
Smaller. But you know what? Smaller. America loves Green Bay. Smallest market in
the
NFL.
They can learn to love Memphis.
That's right. Coming up, Big Ben says the Steelers don't have a chance against the Chiefs. Is there a method to this madness?
And should fans have a problem with the Orioles, moving back the left field fence at iconic Camden Yards?
You think Morant is that good?
I think he's in the MVP race right now. I got him third. Third.
Really?
Yeah.
Ahead of what?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
You ever see a doctor wearing a hat at work? Now you have. What's first?
When he says that the Steelers don't have a chance against the Chiefs, Big Ben is blank.
He is fly fishing. That is my word. He's in a stream. He's got water up to his waist, and he's throwing out a rod to see if any fish, namely the Kansas City Chiefs, are stupid enough to bite at this particular thing. Let me read you the full quote, Wilbon. I would assume as a group you understand that we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. Out of 14 teams I think that are in, we're probably number 14. We're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team. I know they're not the number one seed, but they won the AFC the last 2 years, arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance. So let's go in and play and have fun. That is Ben Roethlisberger's words. One small correction. They're a 12.5-point underdog, not a 20, and he is fly fishing. Because actually, Mike, I think it's possible when the first round is over, everything he says will be true.
It could be, Tony. Fly fishing is one of the things, one of the concepts that, you know, the kids, the last generation and a half, maybe two generations, now call trolling. I mean, you put something out there and you're just waiting.
Yeah.
You're trying to catch somebody, right, who's going to come back at you in a number of ways. And so, yeah. Fly fishing is fine. I would have used that in maybe 1977. So that's what he's doing,
prime,
Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, because you and I are sitting here and we've heard coaches do this. Players didn't do it as much, but of course, this generation, Ben Roethlisberger's in one of these, you know, last
big
two generations.
Star, big star player. He can do it.
Yes, he can. Yeah. Used to be coaches all the time. Remember when
big star
certain coach Rick Pitino did that to you and me and made both of us look pretty foolish?
And it ended up that he was telling the truth when I wrote that he was lying through his teeth. Next.
The Orioles are blank to move back the left field wall at Camden Yards.
They are strategic. Camden Yards is a beautiful place. I was at the first game ever played in Camden Yards, and I think it's a pristine, gorgeous ballpark. But you can do what you want to left field. Just don't mess with the warehouse in right field. Camden Yards last year, Mike, yielded more home runs than any park in the majors. They yielded 27 more home runs, and a lot of them went to left and left center. Now, this tells you two things. One, it tells you your pitching staff probably stinks. And two, it tells you to build a higher wall and make it harder to hit those home runs. You don't have to worry about displacing the fans because last year there weren't any fans. 8 of the 9 best prospects in the Orioles organization are either pitchers or left-handed hitters. You're helping both of those subgroups when you do this, when you push everything back and raise the wall. It's very strategic, and maybe they'll be able to get a left-handed pitcher to sign there if they do this.
Tony, it's desperate because the Orioles are looking for anything. They've been looking for stuff for the last 20 years. It's amazing what that park was for the first 10 years or so, wasn't it? They had great teams, great players, the drama of Cal Ripken and whether he was going to become the all-time Iron Man. There used to be such great excitement and exuberance to go to Camden Yards, as you and I did all the time, not to mention the crab cakes, which could be the single best entree in the history of eating at the ballpark. But, Tony, it's desperate because they don't have enough pitching, as you said. They don't have the right side of the plate covered. And God knows nobody hits to the opposite field anymore. So, desperately, they're trying to change the ballpark because they can't find the team that fits.
That's it. Let's take one last break. But still to come, Colts owner Jim Irsay, the mad tweeter, is reportedly furious with his team. So really, what's he going to do about it?
And will the Bulls beat the Nets tonight for the third time this season? Big night, ball night in Chicago, Tony. It's late, though. 10 Eastern. 10 Eastern in Chicago.
Is Kyrie Irving playing?
I think so, yeah. In this game? Has an ankle, but I think he's playing.
Okay.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 71st birthday, Drew Pearson, the first great wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. Pearson was first team All-Pro 3 times and was a star on the Cowboys Super Bowl XII championship team.
So
Pearson finally got into the Hall of Fame after an inexcusable wait. He is a Cowboy through and through and goes wild at the NFL draft from time to time when he is asked to announce a Cowboys pick. A few years back in Philadelphia, he trolled Eagles fans by saying, quote, "I want to thank Eagles fans for allowing me to have a career in the NFL." Wilbon, you and I had this conversation a few weeks ago when I saw CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys wearing number 88. And I said, Michael Irvin was 88. How can the Cowboys not have retired that number? And you said, Drew Pearson wore 88. And I said, how could the Cowboys let Irvin wear that number if Pearson wore it? And then we realized Dez Bryant also wore 88. And so I asked again, how can the Cowboys not have retired that number?
They should have retired it, Tony. They say they didn't retire numbers. Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach. are three of the four retired. I'm drawing a blank. Bob Lilly. But Tone, we're supposed to, people think that as Washington media people for decades, you and me, that we hate all the Cowboys. We don't. There's several that we love. Didn't you always like Drew Pearson? You were always a Drew Pearson guy.
Sure. Of course, he was a great receiver, of course. Happy anniversary, Joe Namath. On this day, 53 years ago, Broadway Joe became a legend in New York as he led the 18-point underdog Jets past the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III, 3 days after guaranteeing the victory poolside in Miami. Namath completed 17 of 28 passes for 206 yards and was named the Super Bowl MVP, even though he neither scored nor passed for a touchdown. And you might ask why. And the answer is because he's Joe Namath. And he was the leader, the North Star, the singular symbol of the New York Jets. He'd signed with the Jets in the NFL before there was a merger, and his celebrity and popularity was a significant factor in creating an atmosphere for the merger. There's no player now, not Tom Brady, not Aaron Rodgers, not Patrick Mahomes, with the star power Namath had then. Everything he wore became the style. Everything he said became the news. Everyone he touched felt the charisma. To this day, Joe Namath can walk down Fifth Avenue and people will treat him like a god.
Tony, I've seen that. I was in a restaurant in New York City about 25 years ago, and I was still, you know, reasonably young. Joe Namath walked in, and the place went wild. It stopped. Now, I wonder if 25 years later now, it would still happen. Joe still, like the youngsters who don't care about anything that didn't happen today, they still going to give Namath that kind of love?
There's 8 million people in New York. Enough of them are old enough to remember. Happy trails to Baylor's 21-game win streak. Last night was a bad night for a couple of undefeated and highly ranked basketball teams. Number one, Baylor scored the first 9 points against Texas Tech, had a 15-point lead late in the first half, but the 19th-ranked Red Raiders won the game, ending Baylor's 21-game win streak that stretched back to last year's NCAA tournament. And number five, USC was beaten at Stanford, which had paused its program for nearly 3 weeks due to COVID protocols. USC had been 13-0, so now the question is, who will ascend to number one? Likely it would be Gonzaga, which began the season there, as what goes around comes around.
Yeah, Tone, I wouldn't disagree with that. I just wonder if Baylor can still be number one. I mean, the voters, for the men's poll at least, clearly don't know what they're doing anyway after that Miami-Duke game, so I don't know what they're going to do this time. I don't want to try to predict it.
Well, Gonzaga is number two right now, and Gonzaga is a legitimate team, and you could put them up there. Maybe somebody would vote for Auburn. How about that if Auburn was there? That'd be wild, wouldn't it? All right, let's go to the big finish.
Let's go.
Alabama star wide receiver Jameson Williams reportedly tore an ACL. Your thoughts?
Tony, I hate seeing it, but there's a precedent here of a player responding, rebounding, and being great again. Jaylen Waddle missed almost all of last year with a broken ankle, went number six overall in the draft, so let's hope. The forecast for Saturday night's Patriots-Bills game features temps in the single digits, wind chills below zero. Doesn't that excite you?
Yeah, and it's not like the Chargers are going there. If you're from Boston or Buffalo, you can handle that cold. I love to watch snow. You know, football games in snow. This is just wonderful visually to watch. Evgeny Malkin had 2 goals and an assist in his return for the Penguins last night. Are you impressed?
How can you not be? I mean, they won the game, beat the Ducks. You have to be impressed with that resumption of career. The Athletic reports Colts owner Jimmy Irsay, your boy, was furious with the team's loss to the Jaguars. Your take on that?
He guaranteed a couple of months ago that this team would win 2 Super Bowls in his decade.
That's
the worst loss of the season, Mike. The worst loss
of
the season. Last one, the Bulls beat the Pistons by a cool 46 last night. You going to beat the Nets by 46 tonight?
No. The Nets need to win this game. They've already lost 2 to the Bulls. They've dropped 6 out of 10. They're not who we thought they'd be. I think the Bulls will win, but the Nets need to win.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Ambrose Wooden, shout out.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Jalen, JJ Redick, and me duke it out, pun intended, on Countdown at 7 Eastern. And now, here's SportsCenter.